Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Our weekly chat with the head football coach of Vanderbilt, Derek Mason. He is on the line with us.
What's
over
going on
West End. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Back at it.
Back. Hey, it's back to it, right?
Always. It's always back to it. Hey, it's a Tuesday. Man, beautiful day. Man, we got out this morning, and it started a little brisk. The sun came out, and, you know, we were able to get in a good practice. So now what we got to do is, you know, sell on the quarterback, and let's get ready to go.
Was it tough to not get frustrated at the offensive play on Saturday? It just seemed like they could not get anything going at South Carolina.
Yeah, you know, truly disappointing. I mean, you're out there. I mean, you just need something good to happen. You know, it was good to see in that first drive. You know, Riley takes us down the field. Man, we're able to score points. We played, you know, solid defense. And I thought these guys played, you know, with good energy. And I thought they had some great moments in that ball game. I think that defense is, you know, been continuing to get, you know, been better. You know, we just need to play complementary football, offense, defense, and special teams. And we got to get this offense going. And there's too many playmakers here. Man, we got to figure out, you know, in the quarterback position. And now as we, you know, head into the swamp, man, we got to make sure, man, we can put the ball up. You know, continue to run the football and score some points.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. This conversely, on the other side, Coach, if it wasn't for your defense, I mean, because of the deficiencies with the offense Saturday night, that thing could have been way out of hand, but they came up with some huge stops and some huge plays.
Yeah, this you know, defense is starting to, you know, take shape. I think, you know, for these guys, man, they trust one another. They're starting to believe in, you know, exactly the process, you know, just being able to do your job. It leaked a little bit at times. You know, I mean, late in that ball game, we found ourselves not getting off the field, extending some drives. I thought South Carolina made some great plays, some great individual plays. But, you know, with this group, they continue to fight. They continue to believe in one another. And as the individuals get better, the unit gets better.
Now, it looks like you have rolled out a couple of your quarterbacks down in the swamp against Florida. It looks like Deuce Wallace and Alan Walters, your words, I think, at your press conference today, will compete for the starting spot for Saturday?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where we're at right now. And these guys have been taking reps. Again, you know, it was, you know, good to, you know, see these guys come out and practice. These guys know that what's on the line. These guys are going at it. They're giving great effort. But, I mean, it was good to see just, you know, some mastery of what we do. Now it's got to be about the efficiency.
Talking to Derek Mason, head coach for the Vanderbilt Commodores. And, Coach, you had I'm sure internally it was a tricky situation. You got a talented player in Kalijah Lipscomb, and as you described it, some personal issues there. But I think you've addressed it today, that's now in the past. He's going to be back at it this week?
Yeah, man, he practiced on Sunday. He had a great practice today. You know, I mean, he's in good spirits. And things are moving right along, and you know, I mean, I fully expect him to go get it on Saturday. I mean, he did some nice things today, and that's what you want to see. I mean, and he's on the other side, and now what we got to do is just continue to move forward.
You know, without knowing the specifics, and I don't expect you to say it, but that had to be tough, right, with your situation at quarterback, the need to have a guy like that out there to not have him be able to play, or you know, that had to be a tough thing for you.
Oh, it was. Hey, listen, my job as a coach is to make sure, man, that I can put the best players on the field. You know, Kalijah was on the trip, man. He's one of the best players, you know, in our receiving core. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, like personal issues sometimes take precedent. The welfare of the student athlete takes precedent over you know, maybe just trying to throw somebody out there. I mean, that's not what I'm in this for. And I always want to do the right thing by my players. That's what parents expect. That's what I expect of myself. And that's what I'm going to do. So with that being said, you know, with those things that come my way, I look at it and, you know, man, I've got to answer to parents. I've got to answer to the student athlete. And what we do is continue to move forward.
One thing that I noticed, that if I was a pro scout, I'm noticing, is you said before the season started that Keyshawn Vaughn is going to get more touches. There were some games last year he had to come out, but he has really run the ball hard. Everybody in the stadium knows he's going to get it, and I see him pushing the pile forward, running hard in all situations. I think he seems to have taken a big step forward to show that how durable he can be.
man, he's durable. I mean, he's an NFL back. You know, he's had to do more just because right now, you know, everybody's keying on him. But, you know, that's got to change for us this week. We know, you know, man, what we have to do and what it looks like, and we got to make sure that the guys around him, you know, are getting the ball. You know, guys are able to go down the field. We can stretch it both vertically and horizontally, and that's what we're going to do. Like in this ball game, and Keyshawn's got to do his part, which he does every week. He works the way that they should work. I mean, the last time I saw a guy work like this, it was Adrian Peterson in person. You know, I mean, just how he worked. I know Ralph Webb worked hard when he was here, but you know, for what this guy's having to do in games and what it looks like, you know, he's the same guy every day.
We're talking to Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach. He joins us every Tuesday at 1 on Darren Donick and Chase. So one thing that that I noticed that you guys did when Deuce Wallace came in the game, he took more snaps under center as opposed to the pistol or the shotgun. Was that by design just because of the injury situation, or was that play design?
You know, man, part of it was just trying to get him, you know, man, used to the ball, just get him in the rhythm of how things were. And then I think we got to, you know, like, some shotgun snaps, you know, like as he got into it a little more, and as we needed to, you know, stretch it out a little bit. But it was just trying to make sure, man, that we got him, like, into the rhythm of the game. Obviously, I mean, he goes in the, you know, second series of the game, you know, because of the injury, you know, in the Riley, and you're just trying to get him started. We took some shots off play action, and so obviously the run marries the play action. So that's why he started under center, and that's what you saw initially. But, you know, again, I don't think, you know, man, for us, it's going to change a whole lot. These two quarterbacks are you know, man, a little more mobile just in terms of what they do and what it looks like. So, man, you're going to see some elements of that in this ball game. But the game plan doesn't have to change a whole lot. I just think, man, we've got to be better in terms of getting the ball down the field and being accurate, you know, throwing the football, because we had some opportunities. I think, man, we threw a couple of good passes, man, but not enough to be able to, you know, sustain anything during the ball game.
Derek, we've seen you guys at times this year have success in the opening drives of the game, and I know typically with football some of those plays are going to be scripted. What kind of adjustments do you think you can make when you see that kind of a success as the game goes on?
You know, I think, again, going back to your script, I mean, if it's not broke, hey, man, don't fix it, man. Just keep going back to your script. But I think when you got a different quarterback in, okay, man, you're trying to figure out, you know, man, since that guy's the second guy, he didn't have as many reps that week. So, you know, like headed into it, man, he had reps, man, but we needed to shift it just a little bit. And so with that being said, you know, I mean his efficiency on some of it, there are a couple of protections, man, he didn't get flipped, you know, man, a couple of motions that we needed to get a guy over and get him in position. It's just little things that, you know, man, the backup sometimes doesn't get the opportunity to actually get. So now, you know, I mean, these guys are getting themselves ready. It's tailored around what they can do. And we'll make a decision, you know, on Thursday, and then you'll see who starts on Saturday.
I know you mentioned, you know, Kalijah earlier and having him back, but what did you see out of Bostic and Bowler as they tried to handle some of his workload?
You know, I mean, I saw Bostic make a great catch. I saw Bowler make a good catch. I thought overall, you know, man, our receiver play was just a little sloppy. I mean, we talk about the quarterback, but sometimes, man, it's about, okay, man, the route being run, okay, being able to attack a defender, straighten a defender up, stack a defender, you know, man, crunch and separate, stick and separate. I mean, there's just little things with these guys that we got to continue to detail, because when you play, you know, man, good teams, you know, like with good guys, you know, as we're going to face when we face Florida this week, okay, man, the details have to be there. Okay, you got to create, you know, separation. It may be a little separation, but there's got to be enough to where, you know, like a quarterback can find a tight window and make sure that he gets it to you. So these guys are continuing to get better, man, but we need to, you know, make sure, man, that we you know, work on, you know, cleaning up the details. And when we do so, man, I think there's going to be some opportunities.
Back here on the show on this Tuesday, before we get out of here this hour, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to see a show where the tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. That's always a good deal. Willie, you haven't had a chance because you just got back from Detroit yet. Predators, we had a great conversation with David Poyle in the second hour of the show. But to weigh in, and we had Alan Bell in here in the first hour. He was really good. We talked a lot of NFL stuff with him. But you haven't weighed in on what was, as we watched the highlights right here on NFL Network, of the Titans in Carolina against the Panthers, which obviously was a game that did not go their way. Another game where they produced no points in the first half, which is now the fourth time that's happened this season. But just your thoughts of the game.
Well, my big picture thoughts are that very simply, they just have not gotten to the next level, that they are good enough to overcome mistakes. And retrospectively, the fact that they had not turned the ball over was sort of bound to happen. It's hard to go through an entire year and never turn the ball over. They had turned the ball over so few times, but unfortunately their record was not of a team that was on the plus side of turnovers. So, again, I just hope we're not talking about this at the end of the season, but looking back on the two games, Buffalo and Indianapolis, where they did a lot of the right things, but they missed the kicks. They had the unfortunate, you know, stepping over the line on the touchdown throw, the four field goals missed in one game. You know, they didn't turn the ball over in those games, but they didn't get wins. Now you see what a team that is thinks they're good enough, but we know they're not great. Remember the whole good to great? They're clearly not great. So everything's got to go their way. They turn the ball over a couple times. You see what happens. You miss kicks. You see what happens. So just a lot of nightmares that that crop up. It's hard when you have to almost, I wouldn't say be perfect, but you're just not good enough to overwhelm teams every week. Now, I think they're probably going to have some good moments. I would not be surprised at all if they come back and beat Kansas City.
You know,
it's
interesting that you said that.
I brought that up yesterday.
I've actually thought about that in trying to compare kind of what we went through this season, our first season in travel ball, where if we're on, we can hang or beat anybody. But the margin of error, it's like you have to have everything go your way, or especially against the better teams, it's going to burn. Like you can't overcome it. And that was a pretty good analogy. Like I kind of felt the same way watching the game on Sunday. That's the reason I bring it up, because you know it's two different worlds. But going through this first season and feeling the same way, I have felt the same way about the Titans. It's like, okay, as they say on any given Sunday, they can wake up and they can go beat anybody in the league. And you're right. It would be so typical for them to go out there Sunday and beat the Chiefs, right? I mean, I don't know how, but we've also questioned that before, and they go out and they do it, and then they turn around and they'll lose the next game that we expect that they'll win coming off a bye week, and they'll lose. So you're right, but that's not – to go back to what we were just discussing, just because I kind of felt like I just lived this a little bit, it's not a good place to be, right, where you know that – because you know mistakes are going to happen. It's no different in the course of a baseball game with 8-year-olds, 7- and 8-year-olds, or the professional athletes at the highest level in the NFL. Like, you can't expect to go out there and be perfect after every week, week in and week out. You're going to make mistakes. You hope that you're good enough that you can overcome the mistakes and it doesn't bite you, where when you know you're not good enough, you know the mistakes more times than not are going to get you 9 out of 10 times.
The Chargers – I thought about this.
And by the way, the penalties are a part of the mistakes, too. Not just the turnovers.
Huge.
11 penalties, 99 yards.
I mean, Taylor Lewan, early in the game, the back-to-back, just terrible way to
set it all Monday. I was like, it's time for Taylor Lewan to, like, stop having two penalties a game. Here's an idea.
Well, he went two games, and he was good. He was good, Taylor Lewan.
And then, you know, a couple of his other guys on the line also had some costly ones, but the Chargers, you know, the Titans eke it out against the Chargers. Good win. It looks like the Chargers are dead. They've come back and won a couple games. They beat Green Bay going away. They beat them easy.
Easy.
Stopped them the whole game. So there are some things that are really hard to explain in the NFL. So when the Titans were what last year, 3-5, looked like it was over. But we said, hey, they're playing some weaker teams. Maybe they can rip off a few, and they did. Was that right? They were 3-5 or 4-6? 4-6.
I need to go pull it up.
4-6 or 5-6. They won a bunch late.
Let's see.
They went through the NFC East. They beat the Giants, so the Jets, the Redskins.
3-4.
And then they had the bye and then played Dallas.
Yeah.
beat Dallas, beat New England.
So they were 5-4, and then they lost two in a row.
Right.
So they just kind of
and then they won four in a row.
Kind of went back and
so
forth.
So it looks like an eerily similar type of team, but it's precarious because if you're hoping they rebound because they have in the past, but if they don't, you don't want it to slip down a level, right? At the very least, you're hoping get right back to where you have been and hover around, 8-9 wins at least. But it's frustrating that they have not been able to take their collective, with Brown. I still believe that, Brown flashes as a good player. Corey Davis, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it looked like it was coming together there for a couple weeks, and then to have the slip up. Carolina's not a bad team, right?
No, it just
Carolina's got their...
every week that goes by to me, it's Corey Davis is starting to feel like Mariota. It's like, okay, like how long is it going to be like all of a sudden? Right, like how many more seasons do you have to keep going? But you see this and, you feel, remember that game and remember that? Yeah, but it's not about games in the NFL. It's about a season. It's about a body of work. And when you're the fifth pick overall, you can't keep talking about, well, that week he looked good. Where is he this week? Or where was he this game? Or where has he been the last couple? Like if that's what it is year in and year out, at some point you have to realize that's just who you are. Like, I kept saying that about Mariota. Like, okay, well, it's year three, it's year four, it's the same thing, okay? Why do we think that all of a sudden magically it's just going to change and it's just going to morph into something that everybody wanted it to be from the start that's never been there until now? It just typically – Can that happen? Yeah, well, but more times than not, that never happens. It's just that's what he is. And I feel like every week that we just have the same conversation about Corey Davis, and then he's gonna pop up there, right? And maybe this week he's going to have a big week, and everybody's going to feel good again, and then it'll just revert back to its old self. And I just kind of feel like sitting here in year three, like, okay, the year three is getting longer and longer. It's like,
when's it going
to
happen?
Isn't it getting close to like, okay, are we going to have to unfortunately say this just is what it is when it comes to Corey Davis?
The three of us have worked with Derek Mason for a long time, D-Mace, in the mornings. And the one thing that I will, when somebody asks me what's the best thing you've ever learned from working with Derek, I always say that he can look at a player and tell you if they have that dog in them, that want to, that desire, and that you can't teach that. You either have it or you don't. And I look at A.J. Brown and I look at Corey Davis, and I see one that has that dog in him, and one I don't think does.
Sometimes,
but it's inconsistent. A.J. Brown is hungry. A.J. Brown is going out there as a rookie, and he's trying to make plays. And not that Corey Davis isn't.
No, it but just, it definitely looks
there's
different.
There's a big difference.
It looks different.
Well, that to me, just collectively, because Humphreys, he looks like at times he's done exactly what they brought him in to do, right? He makes catches. So on paper, the offense should be a level better, but the numbers are basically the same. They're in the bottom 10 in NFL efficiently. Now, when it looks at its best, it looks all right. The Falcons game, and then Tannehill had a couple of good games there. But overall, you've played over a half a season, and you really haven't, even though the talent on paper looks better, And what's the eye test looks better at times, right? They have more talent, but the numbers collectively aren't a whole lot better.
Okay, so what that points to one thing for me, the offensive coordinator. That points to the plays. That points to the game plan.
Maybe. Well, and the other thing you could say is, listen, they've missed a lot of kicks. If their kickers, and there's been three of them, had a great year, could be talking about another win or two.
Here's
right?
True. Let's do that on the other side.
Adam Vinatieri
he's missed 10 kicks this year. How different would that be for the Colts? 10 kicks, 5 field goals, 5 extra points. How many kicks have the Titans missed this year?
A lot.
Let's do that during the break, and we'll come back and discuss. And also, the Chargers owner has weighed in on London. Wait till you hear what he had to say today. Holy moly. By the way, we can't say all of it on the air. Speaking of Titans Chiefs, this Sunday, noon kickoff, Nissan Stadium, pregame shows starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 to 9:30 a.m. will be the first part of the kickoff show, right? And then our pregame coverage will shift to downtown, George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue. Jared and Floyd and Forever Titan Chris Sanders will anchor the coverage from 9:30 until 11:30 in the morning. So 4.5 hours of pregame coverage right here on 102.5 The Game, leading you up to Titans and Chiefs. That NFL pregame show brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House. We'll find out how many kicks they have missed and tell you what the Chargers owner said today about their future in London. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dean Spanos is the owner of the Chargers. Today,
again, a family-owned team that goes back a long way.
Yep.
I mean, the Spanos family has owned them, I think, from the start, right? Going all the way back to the AFL
60s,
days,
right?
I think so. And the dad recently passed away in the last couple years, maybe? Can't remember exactly.
That's correct. So today, Dean Spanos was asked about the things out there swirling about them potentially moving to London. He weighed in on it.
And Eric Williams put this out there.
Yeah, who covers the team.
Yep.
This was Dean Spanos' exact quote.
Hmm.
It's total bleeping, and he didn't say bleeping. Starts with the letter F. It's total bleeping BS, and he says BS.
He followed through.
Yes, he did not say BS.
He did not abbreviate.
Nope. We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we are planning to be for a long bleeping time. Period. No, that wasn't like the end. He ended it
period.
With period.
So he was a little
so they're
salty.
Not going to London?
Apparently not.
Dean I quote Spanos. Tweeted that, and I said, so that's a hard pass, I guess.
So is that a no, question mark?
But that they have some major issues in, you know, they're going to go to a new stadium, but who is going to show up in that stadium? Because it's a bizarre, they abandoned their fan base, and even though Los Angeles isn't very far from San Diego, people aren't going to go.
I don't know if abandon's the right word. Because they tried to stay.
They did. They gave San Diego every opportunity to get it
fixed. They were forced out because...
I can understand why they threw their hands up and said, we can't stay any longer. We've given you the chance. We've got to do something. We've got to leave. But I just don't know how they're going to make it work there.
I don't either. We've seen it.
I understand LA the owner's reaction.
But LA has not embraced the Chargers. They still view them as San Diego, and this just in. Yeah. Los Angeles and San Diego don't like each other, okay? I get it. They're both in Southern California. They're both in the same state. Those cities, those markets do not like each other.
Right.
And they still view them as a San Diego product. Well, duh, of course. They have not embraced them whatsoever.
And the San Diego fans basically said, we're done.
As we were talking during the break, the better move for the NFL would have been to move the Raiders to L.A. because they have history in that city, and there would be a lot of fans in Los Angeles that would support the Raiders and move the Chargers to Vegas.
Yeah. But the Raiders were originally a part of that whole deal, and then they got booted out of it or something. But I think Mark Davis has to be happy now that he's going to be the top dog in Vegas.
Well, yeah. Well, look at their home.
Yeah.
They're getting.
What I brought up earlier, Willie, was that, you know, with this whole deal, if it is true, and Dean Spanos, of course, disputing it, what's he going to say at this point? That what would happen if another city all of a sudden gets it together to build a stadium and they're like, hey, we want the NFL. And then the Chargers, which it's not going to be a great situation in L.A. Then the Chargers are like, you know what? We're going to San Antonio or Oklahoma City or somewhere like that. And I think the NFL, I'm just guessing, I bet they're secretly thinking, hey, that'd be cool. And then maybe we can expand and do something in London.
All questions for down the road. that I do think at some point somebody will build a very nice stadium, kind of like Vegas is doing, and just saying, you know, we build a really nice stadium, we're going to get somebody one way or the other. Baseball is probably the same way. If you have the financial ability to do it and you want to take that risk, I think your percentage chance is good.
Yeah,
at not having to wait too long if you have a state-of-the-art facility.
And Vegas is sexy right now because they made the Golden Knights work, you know, from day one.
Yeah.
The Raiders are going to work. They will have, my guess is within 5 years.
They'll be a four-sport town.
Maybe even five. I can see the MLS.
Well, they got to build a ballpark. That's no small thing. So somebody's got to do that. That's the thing.
They've built a new arena and a football stadium in the past 2 years.
How many arenas do they have in Vegas already?
Like, I think.
I mean, they have a lot of arenas.
I think they're just kind of like, over there. Put it over there. Yep. Yeah, we're good. Yep.
They do have space. I mean, it is a desert. So
because everything that I've heard about.
They got places where nothing's there.
So they're not locked in like over on Vanderbilt's campus.
But things that I have read about the NBA, that they wouldn't play in T-Mobile Arena. They would just build a separate NBA arena.
Probably, knowing them.
And have the NBA, you know, they'd have their own. NBA has theirs, and obviously the Golden Knights have theirs, and you can have concerts at both. Like, I don't think Vegas is struggling to get anything to come to town. So it wouldn't shock me
Forget about all the arenas that the big casinos have in their place.
I've walked in them.
Yeah, I've been to them. Yeah.
MGM has one. What's the other one?
The other one, I'm drawing blanks.
Mirage?
No.
Where Summer League is, right?
Yeah.
One of the casinos.
I'm blanking on them.
And at the other one I've been to, it's not the Bellagio. I can't think of it. But yes, there's two big ones already in the casinos. Why are we drawing blanks on the other big one?
I've stayed in it. We're both doing it. The
While you're looking that up, how about this? Something we were talking about.
Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay. Thank you. Gosh, I've stayed there. Mandalay Bay and MGM. So we were talking about the Florida State opening. PJ Fleck was rumored to be on the list. Man, it's so good when this happens to coaches. Pete Thamel just tweeted out, sources, PJ Fleck has agreed to a new 7-year deal to stay at Minnesota.
Of course.
The deal includes significant pay raises for him and his staff. Isn't it beautiful to be put on a list?
Mm-hmm. It always helps.
Gosh.
He'll row that boat. He'll need a bigger boat now.
Well, he can buy a bigger boat
he's
now.
He's done a nice job.
He has.
Got a big game this weekend.
A new 7-year deal. No telling how many more years he already had existing on the regular contract. 7 more years at Minnesota on top of whatever was left, and a significant pay raise for him and his staff. Pete Thamel. Sources that he just tweeted that out. Unbelievable.
Next Gen Stats, as we wrap up the segment, just put out the Cat traveled 179 yards, 14.3 miles top speed last night on Monday Night Football.
It had to have been wore out.
Wow.
It traveled. I mean, it was getting after for a long period of time.
All right.
Leading rusher.
When we come back,
it's true.
We will break down the aforementioned stats of the Titans kickers, because I do think it tells you, it has you asking yourself, what if, right? As mediocre as they've been, the difference between winning and losing sometimes, you know, you hate to say it because there's other ways to win. It's easy to say, well, yeah, you know, the kicker missed a couple, but we still could have won that game. I mean, everybody else could have stepped up, but the kicker can make a big difference.
Yep.
We'll tell you about the numbers in a moment.
We've got some tickets to give away any way you want it. And so we'll do it this way. A pair of tickets to see Journey and special guest The Pretenders.
Well done.
Thank you, Chase. At least somebody got that. Bridgestone, that's not even the copy. That was, Bridgestone Arena, you can't even buy these tickets yet. They go on sale on Friday at 10 a.m. It'll be next August. Journey and The Pretenders. Caller 5, 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Caller 5, you can win them any way you want it by just calling in and being... Caller 5, Journey and Pretenders. Back to wrap up the show next.
Final segment here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We were talking earlier in the hour about the Titans at 4-5, all of the issues that they have, but you don't want to all put it on the kickers. But this right. this is a pretty interesting stat. Okay, Chase, what is the success rate of field goal kickers in the NFL?
This season?
Yeah.
I would say 68%.
What is the going rate? Did you say 68%?
Yep.
You're not even close. You are not even close.
Higher?
Way higher.
89?
Now you're going a little too high.
I was going to say 78 before hearing the first two guesses. Am I low?
The last time that the league collectively hit under 78% was 2002.
Wow.
Every year, the field goal percentage accuracy goes up. When I started watching the NFL, let's just go back. I mean, I started watching the late 70s. Let's just pick the first Super Bowl I ever watched, Super Bowl 12. That's how old I am. The kicking rate for field goals was 58%. 58%. So let's go to 1987, 70%. 1997, 78%. 2007, 83%. 2019 is actually down from the last 6 years, but it is still at 80%. The last 5 years, it has been at 84% or over.
Wow.
Which basically tells you, in this league, you just can't miss. Other than, you know, just think about it. This is 84 overall. That includes any desperation kicks that you would make or try from 55 and over. Okay.
And I feel like you are seeing more of those, that you're seeing more of the 55 plus.
Yeah, because the kickers are really good.
Right.
And that might be why it's down to 80%. Okay, so let's go to the Titans. So the expected accuracy, if you're not hitting 80%, you're not going to keep your job.
Right.
We know the issues that the Titans have had. Succop gets hurt. He's not ready to go. So they've used three different guys. Succop has a terrible game yesterday coming back. It doesn't look good, right? They are, as a team this year, 7 for 15 in field goals, 47%. So that is so far below the league average. So you say, okay, where are they just trying too many 50-plus yarders? No. They have missed two between 30 and 39 yards, which just cannot happen.
Right. Those are gimmies.
Those were both Santos.
Okay.
Right? And those were both, I believe, in the same game against the Bills, a game that they absolutely could have won, maybe should have won, if they
probably
just make the kicks.
Have,
he missed
yeah.
four in the same game. From 40 to 49 yards, another area where this is the money area, right?
Yep.
This is where kickers make the money. You've got to make those kicks. Can you miss one? Yeah.
Sure.
But they're 4 for 7. It's too low.
Yep.
Right? Ironically, Cody Parkey, who they signed just to get him by for a couple, he has had the best accuracy. He went 3 for 3. Kicking field goals overall, 2 from 40 to 49 and 1 from 50+. He did. Now he had the one doink against the Chargers on an extra point, but he made the field goals. So between Succop and Santos, they have left tons of key points on the table. Now, do they win that game yesterday if Succop goes 3 for 3? I don't know. But they hang around. They might have had a better chance. But the real issue was the two games where they lost at a razor's edge at home to the Bills and to the Colts, where they missed critical field goals. And so the field goal kicking, I think, trying to be fair, if they have a great year from their kicker / kickers, it's worth a win. It's cost them a win. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
7 for 15 from field goals has cost them a win.
And it's like Delanie Walker said, when Cairo Santos missed the four, he said, you know,
they get paid a lot of money to make those kicks.
Right.
And that was the biggest one. That's the one you would say probably is the most likely they would turn. But even if he screws up that game, but is perfect against the Colts, they probably beat the Colts.
Right. And
so
that's an issue.
That is not on
now,
Mike Vrabel, really. It's not.
But now you can make the argument that the 50-plus yarder that he sent Santos out there after he had missed all those kicks, that I'll put on Vrabel a little bit. But
true.
You know, with Ryan's suck up, I'm still not super concerned. I think he probably gets better as the year goes on, as long as he's healthy. Now, if it comes out that he's not 100% and they rushed him back, then you do have to put that on the coaching staff. But you know, if he's 100% and he just wasn't in rhythm yet, then okay, it happens. But they need, especially now, they have very little room for error as they go down the stretch. That includes making those kicks. So you have to make sure that you can rely on Ryan Succop, who has been pretty good since he came to Nashville from Kansas City. But, you know, he's not going to make everything, but you need him to make a majority of them.
The way this team plays, the number of close games that they play, they are not going to just blow people out of the water. They have to have great kicking if they're going to find a way back into the race. I think that's just, it goes without saying. They're not going to start destroying teams.
Well,
and they've got to make the key kicks.
The problem with this team overall is when everything is perfect, when everything just goes exactly how you plan it out, they're going to win. They're good. They're fine. But if you throw any type of wrinkle into the game plan, which includes penalties, that's where they struggle. They can't come back from it. They don't know how to troubleshoot. It's like that person that...
And they're not alone. There's a lot of teams that are in this category, and their records are 4-5 or 5-4 or 4-6 or, you know, whatever it is.
Like Homer Simpson is a great safety inspector at the nuclear plant when everything goes right. When something goes wrong, he's not a very good safety inspector. That's kind of how the Titans are.
Yep.
When something goes wrong, they can't come out of it.
Radio engineers I've found over the years.
Exactly.
Best ones can tackle and figure out where the problem is. But, you know, I think I'm not ready to write the Titans off, but it's got to be frustrating for a John Robinson, who I know probably deep down feels like the talent level is better, but the results have not been better.
Yep. As we wrap this up, happy anniversary to Kyle Turris and Matt Duchene. It was 2 years ago today that the trade took place.
Wow. And how interesting is it that
they're both here now?
Yeah. And the next game that will be played is against Colorado.
Yep.
So that will be, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but very interesting game coming up on this road trip in Denver. Colorado's got the injury issues. They play tonight. So the Predators took care of the Red Wings last night. They shook off the riddle of the Red Wings, whatever that has been.
The riddle, that's a good way to put it.
It's been a real strange riddle. That's not a very good team. The Red Wings and Nashville did what they needed to do. So now you've got a huge, huge test. You got the Avalanche, the young up-and-comers, banged up a little bit. Predators coming in there, big game.
Kyle in Nashville won the tickets, by the way.
Hey, way to go, Kyle. Not Kyle Turris, though, I guess. Even though we mentioned him. All right. So we're coming back at you tomorrow at 10. Jared and the GM coming up next.